You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
This year, the focus is on Māori language moment, and that is kind of something that harks back to the Māori language petition that was presented to Parliament in 1972. So at the time, it had, I think, 30,000 signatures, and it was delivered to Parliament on this day in 1972, and it called for te reo Māori to be protected and for it to be taught in schools. And from then, since then, we've had a number of revitalisation efforts and movements to recover and revitalise the language. So that's what this week is all about. It happens once a year, and this year, as I said, the focus is on that Māori language moment, which will happen at midday today.
So while speaking te reo and pronouncing it correctly is more socially and politically acceptable than it once was, it's still a site of contention. What do you think it is that holds people back from practicing te reo in public and really getting that pronunciation right?
Yeah, I think just a lack of knowledge, maybe a lack of awareness. I also think that there is a bit of a generational divide in terms of attitudes towards the language. So I think there are some lingering attitudes that are less than ideal towards te reo Māori. But I will say that this semester I am part of a team that's teaching a bunch of first-year communication studies students. And these students come from all walks of life, and they are really open and willing to pronounce te reo correctly. Their pronunciation is excellent for the most part, and where it's not, there's this kind of attitude of, oh, you know, I'm willing to learn. How do I correct my pronunciation? So I think that the tide of you know, pronouncing words incorrectly and also the attitudes that accompany that has turned, and that the push is generally for Māori to be pronounced correctly. It's I know that one of the arguments in the past has been that we don't, you know, we don't call Rome Roma or Florence Firenze, but my rebuttal to that point would be that in those cities, they do refer to the city as Firenze. So te reo Māori comes from Aotearoa. We should be pronouncing it correctly.
Hmm. And what are the wider implications of mispronouncing Māori words? What does it say about the person who is doing the mispronouncing or willfully deciding not to? And what does it say to our Māori communities when people aren't willing to learn?
Yeah, I think it speaks to the way that that person values the language. And I think that there is a difference, though, and we need to be careful. There's a difference between someone simply not knowing how to pronounce something and then someone willfully pronouncing it incorrectly, even though they know that that's what they're doing. So I have a lot of aroha or empathy, compassion towards the first group of people, the people who don't know how to pronounce something and they're just giving it a shot and they're open to learning and trying their best, because I think that that group are the group that we can really focus on and focus our attention and kind of grow their knowledge around te reo, make it normal for them. Yeah, I think that in terms of valuing te reo and being open-minded and having kind of an open heart towards the language, that's where our focus should be to that group of people. And, you know, those that want to hold on to some of those negative attitudes towards the language, there's not a lot that we can do to change their minds normally. So I think our efforts should be focused towards the other group.
And I guess conversely, on the other side of that, what do you see as being the benefits of hearing te reo in our day-to-day life and having it be more widely used and accepted in Aotearoa?
Yeah, that's a great question. We are one of the most monolingual countries in the world, and we know that bilingualism is really great for the brain. So I think the more people in Aotearoa that learn a second language, and yes, I would love for that language to be Te Reo Māori, the better. It's great for our brains and it'll be great for our society. So, I think that that Māori Language Week is a great spotlight on Te Reo, and it's a great way to normalise the language and get the conversation happening. I noticed that it's trending on Twitter at the moment, so that's a great sign. And the Māori Language Commission had a goal to reach 1 million people, to have 1 million people sign up for the Māori Language Moment, and I think they're over 900,000 the last time I checked.
So, oh, wonderful.
That's a really great sign. Yeah.
On that, how can people get involved with the Māori Language Moment? It's starting at 12, but by the time this interview airs, it'll be just after. For people who are listening now, how do they sign up and get involved maybe later on in the day?
Sure. So the moment itself may have passed by the time you hear this, but we still have an entire week left of Te Wiki o Te Reo Māori. So the Māori Language Moment was something that people signed up for, and then they took a moment out of their day at 12 to speak the language or to listen to Te Reo Māori music or to read something in Te Reo, just some sort of engagement with the language. But like I said, we still have an entire week left, so people can celebrate the language all week. They can have a coffee with a friend and maybe try and use as many Māori words as possible. They could get involved in some of the online activity. There's a lot happening in social media, in the social media space around Te Reo Māori this week. Just get involved and engage with Te Reo Māori in some way during your day.
And where do you think change begins? If the, I think you said the New Zealand Māori Language Commission's goal is to have 1 million people engaging in Te Reo on the Māori Language Moment, but also to safeguard Te Reo for future generations to come. Where do you think the change begins now? Like in the classroom or the workplace and day-to-day interactions with friends and whānau?
Yeah, I think it has to be a multifaceted approach, right? So we have to come at it from all angles. For me personally, I am raising my daughter in Te Reo Māori, so I only speak Māori to her. And there are things that she says, proverbs and sayings that she says that I didn't learn until I was 30. So I think whatever we can pass on to our children, even if, you know, it took you until you were in your 30s to learn te te pēhea koe, how are you? Simply passing that on to a child and having them learn it years and years before you ever did is a step in the right direction. So I think the focus needs to not just be on one group. We all have a role to play. And I like to see initiatives, especially new initiatives that happen in spaces that aren't traditionally Te Reo Māori spaces. So I love to see the kind of new initiatives that happen that push the language into spaces where it wasn't previously. I think that's fantastic.
Now we are coming up to an election very soon. What do you expect from the next government so we can look after Te Reo and make sure that it's still used in the future?
Yeah, obviously in terms of Māori language revitalisation efforts, they need to be well resourced, and that happens at a government level. So while the movement to recover and revitalise Te Reo Māori has often been pushed from grassroots and community efforts, the government does have a really important role to play, and that's in terms of making sure Te Reo is well-resourced, making sure that it is a priority in policy, in the education system, obviously, but also just generally speaking across the board, Te Reo should be, as I said earlier, should be in every area of society. It should be represented across the board, and definitely we look to the government to play a huge role in that.
So, though speaking Tadeo and correct pronunciation is becoming more mainstream, there is still a long way to go. And there's always a concern with weeks where we celebrate something that just participating in one week resolves you of any responsibility to continue it all year round. How do you think that we can honour Tadeo and thank the people who on this day in 1972 championed it when it was less socially and politically correct to do so, all year round beyond Māori Language Week?
Yeah, I think the Māori Language Week has an important role to play in terms of that spotlight on the language. And we know, I know from some of the projects that I've worked on that, for instance, MaoriDictionary.co.nz, which is Te Aka Māori Dictionary. It's the kind of most well-used online Māori dictionary. There's a huge uptick in numbers of people accessing and using the dictionary during Te Wiki o Te Reo Māori. And then what we notice is that when there is that uptick, the numbers hold. So they hold at that level for the next few weeks and months. So I do think it has an important role to play in terms of just that awareness. But what we can do all year is to then take that language that we might have used or learnt during Te Wiki o Te Reo and speak it year-round. I think it's becoming more normal to hear people say kia ora, for instance, in the workplace, in places where maybe we didn't hear it before. So we have come a long way from the time that Whai Nata Glavish was chastised for speaking te reo Māori on a phone call in her workplace for saying kia ora. We've come a long way from that, but there's still a long way to go. Kia kaha te reo Māori, kōrero tia te reo Māori, speak it. We're all in this together. Let's push te reo Māori into those spaces.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.